Hey, I'd like to welcome to the program Sarah Davis. She's a podcast host. She's an instructional designer. And for a while, she's going to be a temporary nomad. So,
yes,
Sarah,
hello.
we Kathy and I got your, can I call it a holiday card? Is that what that was?
It's New Year's
it
card.
It says Happy Year. Happy New Year. Okay. Yeah, and we love one thing you wrote on that. Well, it was all nice, but the one thing that stood out was, and I quote, "As I step into the new year and begin a new life as a temporary nomad, I'm holding one simple intention, trust, in the unfolding, in the pauses, and in whatever comes next." So,
yes,
what comes next?
Well, that's what I don't know yet.
Well, you are preparing a long walk, which always intrigues me, of course.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of long walks.
Yes. I'm preparing to walk the Camino de Santiago and the Portuguese route. So it'll be...
The Portuguese route.
Yes. Okay. About 2 weeks of walking.
Okay. How many miles?
I actually don't know exactly, but it'll be about anywhere from 12 to 20 miles a day.
Okay. And other than really tired legs, what do you hope to accomplish?
Yeah. So there's something about walking that gives you perspective and gives you the opportunity to speak with other people who have different life experiences. And
in foreign languages, in this case, maybe.
Yes.
Well, I imagine there's a lot of English on El Camino.
Oh, there's a lot of English for sure. And yeah. Since part of that time I'll be on the Portuguese path, I don't speak Portuguese, so.
But you're learning Spanish.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I am. Yes.
Yeah. And so, what do you you've done the Camino before?
Yes.
But apparently, once wasn't enough. You're going back at it.
Yeah. Yeah, so the first time I did the Camino, it was actually at a moment of transition, and I feel very similarly now. I'm in a moment of transition, and that first time I was also going to spread my dad's ashes. So he was a longtime avid follower of the Camino, Camino everything. He talked to everybody about the Camino, but he didn't get a chance to go. So that was kind of a chance for me to connect.
So you brought him with you?
Yes.
And somehow you got his ashes through TSA?
Yeah. Well, actually, that's the easy part.
Oh, really? Okay. What's the hard part?
The hard part is finding a quiet space and a moment to be alone with the ashes, really. Because I was on the popular route, the first route.
So lots of people. Okay.
Yeah.
And so what is the transition in your life this time?
Well, this time also kind of relates to parents. I'm an only child and my mom passed away in 2024. So it's sort of a chance for me to really just kind of come to terms with that transition of being from being her caregiver to being my own person again. Just kind of like caregiving really makes your life a little bit smaller. And so I'm looking for more of an expansion right now and a vision of maybe what I can do to have impact in the future.
Any thoughts preliminarily on what you can do to have an impact in the future?
Yeah, I actually really don't know. I had one idea that I'm still tossing around and we'll see, which is to create retreats for former caregivers and have sort of a funding mechanism to allow them to be able to attend said retreats. Because a lot of times what happens when you're caregiving at the end of life, maybe if you're somebody like me, who has a job, you might quit that job to caregive. And then all of a sudden your funds are running out because the funding that is provided for you is not enough.
The funding as a caretaker is,
yeah.
Sometimes it's non-existent.
Oh, right. Yeah. Totally. Or you have to be very, very crafty and very persistent.
Yeah.
And a lot of people can't, I mean, my mom had Alzheimer's, that's 24/7 care. A lot of people can't afford that level of care. Even in a nursing home or facility.
And how many years did you provide care for?
4 years. Some of that was remote and some of that was in person.
Yeah. So that can be intense.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you might, I mean, one idea is to put together a retreat center where people who have come out the other end of providing long-term care can kind of get their feet back on the ground, their heads yes. back where they need their heads to be.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And because of my background in instructional design, thinking about how I can make that not just a solitary experience, like a 3-day event, but then ongoing throughout the year, what are the touch points and how can we connect into the community in a meaningful way where we're not just sort of offloading to each other, but giving back and generating new ideas.
So now, in lieu of the existing retreat center, which you may found someday, you're going on not just a trip on the Camino. You've got some other plans as well, some other undertakings that you hope will bring you some sense of purpose and peace. And I'm putting words in your brain here, so help me out if I'm off base.
That's great. You're better than ChatGPT.
Well, wow, that is the best compliment I'm ever going to get.
Yeah. I'll start off the trip in Spain, and I go to Spain pretty regularly now. I have a friend who lives in Madrid, so she'll be my home base. And then I'll go from Madrid to Granada, where I'll take a 2-week language immersion class. Mm. I'll go back to Madrid, and then I'll go on to the Portuguese Camino. And then after the Portuguese Camino, I'm going to go to Italy, and I'll be joining in on a dolphin research project.
Mm.
And
learning how dolphins are using ChatGPT?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, of course.
Well, hey, everybody's doing it, right?
Yeah. Well, it'll be much more boring than that, I think.
Okay.
That would be amazing if dolphins could somehow communicate with AI. But I'll be observing dolphins, their dorsal fins, their behaviors, helping to do things like marking down what GPS location they're at.
To what purpose? What's the end goal for the dolphins?
Yeah, I think it's just ongoing research and understanding of those dolphins in that area.
In the Mediterranean dolphins?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then did you say you go to Ireland after that?
Yes. So first I will, I knew I had to take a break in the UK because I only have 90 days of Schengen.
Wait, just to be clear, Ireland is not part of the UK.
Yes, but it's off of it's off of Schengen.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so there's a Schengen region which dictates how many days you can be on in the area, and there's 90 days.
I still don't know what that means.
So Schengen is just a region that somebody has indicated.
Region?
In Europe.
In Europe, okay.
In Europe, where you can only stay 90 days before you have to leave.
Ah, okay. Yeah. So it's like a type of visa.
Yes.
Gotcha. Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay, well, and I'm on. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. It becomes an obsession. So you can rotate off of that and stay some time, and then your days sort of overlap and you have more days.
Okay. And you're going to Ireland, to the Aran Islands, I believe you said, which is a very remote part off the coast, the west coast of Ireland. It's a very traditional area where the Irish language is still spoken primarily.
Yes.
Yeah. And what are you going to be doing?
Inishmore is where I'll be, specifically.
Okay. That's the biggest of the Aran Islands, I believe.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I will be volunteering for a bed and breakfast.
Okay. Washing dishes?
I don't know. I don't think so,
Will you be making the traditional Irish breakfast? Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay, well, you heard it here first, and not from ChatGPT.
Yeah.
The traditional Irish breakfast includes more meat than your digestive system can realistically handle, blood pudding, black pudding, sausage, a type of bacon called rashers, and then it includes an egg or two, brown bread, which is kind of a soda bread, regular old white bread, a half of a tomato that's grilled or fried, and a little bit of a mushroom. It's massive.
It sounds
and
amazing.
It's very ritualistic almost.
That sounds like I could make that.
And your gastrointestinal system will not thank you. But you'll get to make it for other people.
Yes.
Maybe.
I'm
not sure if you get to do that or not, but I hope you do because it's it's probably safer to make it than to eat it.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know exactly what I will be doing. I think I'll be more of a, social welcome greeter, and then I will be doing maybe some sheet changing, and I think I'll be serving the breakfast. I don't know if I'll be making the breakfast, but that would be interesting
You've got an immersion program coming up in Spanish. Do you have one coming up in Irish as well?
No, so Irish will be like.
Well, and again, everybody.
Here you go. Here's Ireland.
Everybody there. Everybody in the Aran Islands will speak English as well. And the Irish language is just beautiful, by the way. And I've always regretted. I started learning it at one point, but never made it too far. But it's a beautiful language. You'll love hearing it. And I remember going to Mass in Ireland and hearing the entire service in Irish, which was great.
Wow.
But even though you're not going to learn Irish, we're coming up on St. Patrick's Week, as I call it. Any particular celebratory elements in your plans this week?
No, actually, no.
We'll have to come hear some Irish music.
Yes, you are doing some Irish
music.
Me
and my ne'er-do-well musician friends are playing 8 different times.
Wow, yeah. That's a lot of times.
I know. Well, it includes gigs in Harlan, Denison, Greenfield, Indianola, but the la pièce de résistance, going to say a French word describing an Irish event, is going to be at Mitzi's in West Des Moines.
Oh. Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, anyway. Well, then maybe I should put that on my list.
You absolutely should. Anyway, so I mean, what's the end result of all this traveling, all this, some might call it navel gazing, recovery from, I mean, again, if those, you know, my sister, my mom just passed away last year, and my sister was the primary care provider. Oh. And it was intense.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So if you do build that retreat center, I'm going to send her your way. But yes. She's doing fine, actually. Yeah. But I can see how it could be something you really needed to step back from and take a break. But what is the end goal? What is the end result?
Yeah, I think, that a lot is yet to be determined what the end result is going to be, for sure. I think it'll hopefully be more of a sense of purpose or reflection time that I've had to kind of look back on the last few years and sort of make sense of what's next. And a lot of it could be just rest.
Rest. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But resting in a different environment.
Yes.
Than Johnston, Iowa.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. But you think you'll come back to Iowa?
I'll have to come back. I'll be back at the end of 4 years, so 4 months.
Oh, 4 months, okay. That's
four
a lot.
Months.
You're going to get wrinkly skin with all those dolphins, and you'll learn how to speak Irish.
Otherwise, my house sitter might, I don't know, occupy the house permanently. I don't know how that works.
Right.
But I think that a lot of it is just about taking a step back and acknowledging what happened and thinking about what's next. A huge part of watching my mom and in the caregiving journey is just seeing how short life is and wanting to really make the most of it.
And, you know, again, recognizing the difficulty, the challenge of being a caregiver as you were, as many people are, we also have to acknowledge that these are very difficult times we live in now. I've been on this planet for seven decades now. Who's counting? I don't think I've ever seen a time that's more challenging than this. I know that the need for, you know, politically induced psychiatric care is way up. There's a lot of people who are really struggling right now because of what's happening with our government and our country.
Yeah.
Do you see any ways in which your experience might impact how you interact with the challenges we're facing on that front?
Yeah, I think, well, when I think about like what I'd like to maybe do in the future is help maybe make our country a little bit kinder to people who are caregiving. Or, I don't know, help to reflect that onto the policies that we make around caregiving and the funds that are provided around caregiving so that people who are in that situation maybe aren't so isolated and have a way to get out.
And that's a good question. What are the funds available for people in your situation who are providing care?
Yeah.
A state and national.
Yeah, I mean, I feel fortunate that I didn't have to tap into a lot of that system myself, but I did have friends who did. So at least one friend in California, she heavily relied on IHSS funds.
And that stands for?
Oh, gosh, I have no idea.
Okay, never mind.
But basically, they were funds that were set aside so she could provide care for her father who needed 24/7 care. But she was only able to pay minimum wage to care providers. Mm. So she was still very much involved in his day-to-day care. Mm-hmm. But I believe most people think that Medicare might cover everything. And it really doesn't.
No, Medicare is... we could have a long conversation about America's healthcare system. Mm. I'm glad you're going to be spending some time in places where they have a more humane... I mean, I would say I think our care is great. Accessing it and paying for it are the problems.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Well, Sarah, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
I appreciate you inviting me. This has been really fun. Thank you.
Sarah Davis, folks, podcaster, instructional designer, and temporary nomad. We look forward to hearing about your experiences.